بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
حميم.
Ha Mim.
كذلك يوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك الله العزيز الحكيم.
Thus does Allah, the Most Mighty, the Most Wise, reveal to you, even as He revealed to those messengers who preceded you. Thus does Allah, the Most Mighty, the Most Wise, reveal to you, even as He revealed to those messengers who preceded you.
The style of the opening verses clearly implies that a hostile whispering campaign was fully in action throughout Makkah against the Prophet's message and the Quran. In every bazaar, on every street, in every house and shop, and wherever a few people got together, they engaged in a hostile, gossipy chatter against the Prophet, peace be upon him. His opponents accused him of having brought forth a discourse full of absolutely bizarre ideas that had never been heard of before. They expressed their outrage at his having openly proclaimed their centuries-old ancestral faith, which was followed by the whole community, to be utterly false, offering a faith all his own to replace it. Had he suggested some partial modifications to their ancestral faith and way of life, they could have condescended to give some consideration. However, the Prophet, peace be upon him, claimed that he was expounding to them the word of God verbatim. What could possibly prompt them to accept that? Is it the word of God because God seeks out Muhammad, or Muhammad goes to him, peace be upon him? Or does any conversation take place between the two? What is being said here on these matters is ostensibly addressed to the unbelievers, but is actually meant for the Prophet's attention. It is being affirmed that the revelation received by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had earlier been communicated to the prophets of yore. Both the content of the teaching and the mode of communicating it were the same. As for Wahi, it denotes a quick, secret suggestion, one that is known only to him who makes it and to him who receives it. As a term, it stands for the guidance communicated with the speed of lightning by God to the hearts of any of His chosen servants. What the verse states is that there is no question of anyone visiting God or of God visiting anyone, and thus a face-to-face communication. God is most mighty and most wise. Whenever He decides to communicate His guidance to any of His servants, He encounters no difficulty in doing so. Thanks to His wisdom, He resorts to Wahi, revelation. The same idea is repeated in the concluding verses of this surah, and even in clearer terms, see verses 51 to 52 below. The unbelievers thought that the Prophet's message consisted of things that were outlandish and bizarre. In response, they are told that the impression is false, for the prophets who had been raised before the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had also received similar teachings.
له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العلي العظيم.
His is all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. He is the Most High, the All Great. His is all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth.
These introductory remarks are not simply aimed at glorifying God. Rather, all that has been said here profoundly relates to the background against which these verses were revealed. The primary reason motivating those engaged in a virulent campaign of opposition against the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Quran, was that the Prophet was calling people to monotheism. Astounded by this, they vociferously shrieked at the idea that if God alone were the deity, the Lord, the Provider, and the Lawgiver, then what was the locus standi of their venerated ancestors who worshipped other deities? In this regard, they were firmly told that the whole universe belongs to God. Since God is the Lord of the universe, how can there be any other's lordship? This is especially so because those that are accepted as deities or would like to be treated as lords and masters themselves belong to God. It is also stated that God is the Most High, the All Great, verse 4, which implies that none can be His compare, that none can share with Him His essence, attributes, and rights.
تكاد السماوات يتفطرن من فوقهن والملائكة يسبحون بحمد ربهم ويستغفرون لمن في الأرض ألا إن الله هو الغفور الرحيم.
The heavens may well nigh rend asunder from above, while the angels proclaim the praise of their Lord and ask forgiveness for those on earth. Lo, it is Allah and He alone who is most forgiving, most merciful. The heavens may well nigh rend asunder from above. It is the height of blasphemy that a created being's lineage be established with God by declaring someone to be His son or daughter. Likewise, it is outrageous to invoke or and address supplications to anyone other than God for the fulfillment of one's needs. No less heinous is the fact that someone, say a saint, be considered to have the power to dispose of the affairs of all people at all places, and that he comes to their help and answers their supplications. So is the phenomenon of regarding some people as having the mandate to bid and to forbid, to regard some people as having the authority to declare some things to be lawful and others unlawful, being sure that people will follow their commands in disregard of God as though they were invested with God's authority. These blasphemous acts are so outrageous that there should be no wonder if the sky were to rend apart. Almost the same point is made in Surah Maryam 19:88-91. While the angels proclaim the praise of their Lord and ask forgiveness for those on earth, angels are outraged at the blasphemous utterances of earth's rebellious residents. They find it altogether incredible that anyone could be considered to be God's co-sharer in His Godhead and sovereign authority. They find it beyond comprehension that anyone should sing hymns of and lavish praises on any other than God, the great benefactor of all. They are ablaze with the graveness of the offense committed on earth, fearing that it will provoke God's wrath. They, therefore, over and again implore God's mercy for the dwellers of the earth who have forgotten themselves and their God. They pray that they be spared God's punishment and be granted respite to mend their ways. Lo, it is Allah and He alone who is most forgiving, most merciful. God is most forbearing and most merciful and is inclined to overlook and indulge those engrossed in unbelief, polytheism, atheism, sin, and iniquity. As a result, they are granted respites that extend to years and, in the case of communities, to centuries. During this period, they continue to receive sustenance, the acclaims of the world, and such resplendent means of worldly adornment that make foolish people think that perhaps no God exists.
وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهُ حَفِيظٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ.
Those who have taken others than Him as their protectors beside Him, it is Allah who oversees them. You are no guardian over them. Those who have taken others than Him as their protectors beside Him. The word used is awliya, singular of wali, which is a very wide-ranging term in Arabic. Misguided people entertain many notions about and adopt flawed attitudes towards their false deities. The Quran brands these people as those who take others than God as their awliya or protectors. A careful study of the Quran yields the following connotations of the term wali. 1. He is the one who is generally followed and the ways, rituals, and laws prescribed by him are commonly obeyed. See Al-Nisa 4, 118-120 and Al-Araf 7, 3 and 27-30. 2. He is the one on whose guidance others rely, believing that he will direct them to the straight way and dissuade them from falsehood. Al-Baqarah 2:257, Bani Israel 17:97, Al-Kahf 18:17-50, and Al-Jathiyah 45:19. 3. He is the one whom men take as their protector, irrespective of his deeds, and think that if there is a God and the hereafter, then that person will save them from punishment. Al-Nisa 4:123 and 173, Al-Anam 6:51, Al-Ra'd 13:37, Al-Ankabut 29:22, Al-Ahzab 33:65, and Al-Zumar 39:3. 4. He is the one who is considered to help men in a supernatural manner, defending them against calamities, granting them livelihood, blessing them with children, and meeting their needs. Hud 11:20, Al-Ra'd 13:16, and Al-Ankabut 29:41. At places, the Quran employs Wali in one of the above meanings, and at some places, all the above mentioned meanings are intended. In the verse under study, all the above connotations of the term are implied. That is, reference is to the unbelievers who take others besides gods as their patron and guardian. It is Allah who oversees them. You are no guardian over them. God oversees them means that He watches all of men's deeds and is preparing the scroll of their deeds, and that it is for Him to call them to account. The Prophet, peace be upon him, is not charged with taking the unbelievers to task. That the Prophet, peace be upon him, is not a guardian over them means that the fate of the unbelievers has not been left in the hands of the Prophet, peace be upon him. He cannot just turn them into ashes, nor he could overthrow the dominance of those who do not accept his message, nor he could annihilate them. This, of course, does not at all imply that the Prophet, peace be upon him, ever entertained such notions, and what is said here is to remove such misperceptions. Although the verse is addressed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, its objective is to inform the unbelievers that the Prophet, peace be upon him, makes no tall claims of the kind spouted by claimants of spiritual holiness and godliness in their own ranks. Such false beliefs are quite common in societies steeped in Jahiliyyah, where their holinesses are considered to have the power to instantly ruin the destiny of whosoever shows any disrespect to them. In fact, they are considered to have such power that even if someone were to show any lack of respect to their graves, or if there are any in whose mind a negative idea about them makes inroad, these divines are apt to destroy them. Baseless stories are spread by these holy persons themselves. As for the truly pious, who do not lay any such claim, their names and their skeletal remains are used as capital by some of these worldly wise who circulate such stories. The public perception about a saintly figure, therefore, is that being close to God, he can harm or benefit people. The Quran strikes a blow at this false notion, telling the Prophet, peace be upon him, that even though he has been blessed with divine revelation, the task assigned to him was no more than to direct mankind to the straight way. It is only God who decides what man's fate is. Again, it is God's prerogative and His alone to punish or spare people in view of their deeds.
وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لِتُنْذِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَى وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا وَتُنْذِرَ يَوْمَ الْجَمْعِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ فريق في الجنة وفريق في السعير.
And thus did we reveal this Arabic Quran to you, that you may warn the people of the mother of cities, to wit, Mecca, and those who dwell around it, and warn them of the day of gathering, concerning which there is no doubt, whereon some will be in paradise and some in the blazing fire. And thus did we reveal this Arabic Quran to you.
What was said at the outset is repeated here with greater force. The addressees are told that the Quran is in their own tongue. They can directly approach it. On reflection, they will realize that only the Lord of the universe can provide such perfect guidance.
that you may warn the people of the mother of cities, to wit, Mecca, and those who dwell around it.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, is directed to warn those immersed in heedlessness. They should be told plainly and warned that their errors of thought and belief and the moral corruptions which have overtaken them and the flawed principles upon which their individual and national lives are operating all are bound to lead to their perdition.
And warn them of the day of gathering.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, was also asked to impress on the unbelievers that their loss will not be confined to this worldly life. What is more, they will soon be confronted with the day of judgment, when God will gather together everyone and call them to account. If one failed to receive punishment in this world for one's misdeeds and errors, one cannot escape punishment in the hereafter. Anyone who suffers in both this world and the hereafter will indeed be an ill-fated person.
وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَهُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَكِنْ يُدْخِلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ وَالظَّالِمُونَ مَا لَهُمْ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ.
If Allah had so willed, He could have made them all a single community, but He admits whomsoever He pleases into His mercy. As to those given to wrongdoing, they shall have none as protector or helper. If Allah had so willed, He could have made them all a single community, but He admits whomsoever He pleases into His mercy. As to those given to wrongdoing, they shall have none as protector or helper.
This point is made in the present context for the following three considerations. 1. It aims at comforting and consoling the Prophet, peace be upon him. He is directed not to grieve over the ignorance and error of the unbelievers. It is part of God's dispensation that man should exercise free will and choose between guidance and error. Had it not been a part of God's plan, there would have been no need to reveal books and raise messengers. With a single command, God could direct everyone to follow the straight way, and all mankind would have obeyed Him unquestioningly in the way rivers, mountains, trees, the earth, stones, and animals do. 2. The verse is addressed to all those people who had mental reservations that if God indeed sought to guide mankind, there was hardly any need for revelation and messengers. He could easily accomplish the same by creating everyone as a true believer. Another corollary of the same delusion was that since God has not done this, it means that He approves the different paths pursued by men. It is rather part of His will, and hence the Prophet, peace be upon him, should not object to it. The above misperception has been removed at several places in the Quran. 3. The purpose of the verse is to explain to the believers that they will confront hardships and obstructions in the cause of faith. Some people fail to grasp the true nature of the free will granted by God, and it is precisely as a result of this free will that men act differently. Again, there are some who are demoralized by the slow success and progress of faith. They look for miracles which could instantly change people's hearts. At times, some well-intentioned people tend to be overzealous in serving the cause of their faith, thereby adopting injudicious means to effect reform. The Quran also takes up this point elsewhere. See Al-Ra'd 13:31 and Al-Nahl 16:91-95. It is for the above considerations that the passage under discussion brings out these truths quite succinctly. It is asserted that God's vicegerency and admission to paradise are not ordinary favors which may be bestowed upon every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Rather, these represent the highest degree of felicity for which even angels were not considered worthy. God has created man as a species with free will and has placed the vast resources of the earth at his disposal so that he may successfully pass the test to which he has been put. The test that will entitle him to enjoy God's mercy. No one can lay any special claim to His mercy. He showers it upon whom He wills, nor can anyone force God to grant it. Only those who surrender themselves wholly to Him, who take Him as their only patron and repose all trust in Him, are helped and supported and enabled by God to pass the test and receive His mercy. However, the wrongdoers who turn away from him and take others besides him as their patrons are not succored by him. In any case, others do not have any knowledge, power, or authority to act as man's patron.
أَمِ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ فَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْوَلِيُّ وَهُوَ يُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ.
Are they so foolish that they have chosen others rather than Allah as their protectors? Yet it is Allah who is the protector and who resurrects the dead and who has power over everything.
Are they so foolish that they have chosen others rather than Allah as their protectors? Yet it is Allah who is the protector and who resurrects the dead and who has power over everything. Patronship is not a matter of intuitive choice. Man cannot just take anyone or anything as patron, insofar as the latter cannot fulfill the expectations and act effectively as a patron. A true patron alone can help and assist mankind, whereas others cannot render such service. As to the contention that God alone is the true patron, one may appreciate this point with reference to the fact that God alone exercises control over man's life and death. It is He who invests lifeless material with life. It is He alone who can best discharge the role of a patron. It would be tantamount to ignorance, foolishness, and self-destruction if someone were to take others as patrons besides God.